Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
If we haven't had the pleasure of meeting before, my name is Chaz Yandel. The last time I was here, I was the chief support officer for a ministry called All Things Possible Ministries with Victor Marks. If you're not aware of who Victor Marks is, he's currently now running for governor of Colorado. I am no longer the chief support officer of All Things Possible Ministries. I am now the head of All Things Possible Ministries. And so therefore, I have to have his son travel with me everywhere I go to make sure I'm doing everything right the way he would. So, for those of you who have been with me last time or have continued, laughter is the voice of joy. And so I am going to say some things today that are going to be intentionally designed to try to make you laugh. Your job is to be discerning and understanding when I'm trying to make you laugh or when I'm simply trying to get the point of the Lord home to you today. So I am honored that JM is here with me. JM and I have traveled the world since he was 12 years old, which was 8 years ago when we started. So you do the math. And yes, ladies, there is not a ring on that finger yet, okay? He's thinking to himself, my dad used to do it, now my uncle does it. They're all trying to get me married. No, he is a godly young man, and I told him when we were coming today, this is going to be a church service like you've never been before. Because that's exactly what I thought when I was here a few months ago, and I'm 61 years old. I have never been blessed to be in a church service that is as free as you're all. And it's free in a different way, because I've been in hyper-Pentecostal churches a lot. That's free in another way. This is free in a way that literally, as the choir came up and I leaned over to JM, that's the choir coming up now. He goes, now? And I'm going, yeah. And then as we sat there and just basked in the presence of the Lord while others kind of worshiped him, yeah, we're worshiping as well, but we weren't singing along, right? It's so refreshing. And I'm thankful. At the end, I knew that as soon as Phil sat down, technically, I could just get up here and get to my thing. But that ain't the way how it works here. And I was talking with the guys in the booth saying, yeah, I'm going to sit there. And when Phil looks over at me like, why ain't you going up? I'm going to look right back and Phil, because the Lord ain't told me to go up yet. And then that brother got up and shared that verse from Psalm 8:2 this morning. Brother, I mean, beloved, that's exactly what the Lord wanted to lead us into this morning, because I did not commit to sharing with y'all until Friday on an airplane, because Brother Steve had said, hey, the elders would like you to share on Sunday morning. I said, I ain't got anything from the Lord that I'm supposed to share, and I ain't going to get up there and just go on and on. Unless the Lord gives me something, and he gave me something on the plane, and I'll get to that in a second, but there is just something so special about being with y'all. I know that many of us will be here this afternoon for the actual retooling training. I'm not here to preach on retooling this morning. I'm here to deliver what the Lord sent me to give you, which everything kind of deals with spiritual warfare, I understand, but the reality of it is that when we come together, when y'all come together, you are all coming for one reason and one reason alone. If you're coming to Bible Tabernacle in Whispering Pines, right? You are coming to hear from God. And the leadership does not necessarily have like a schedule. It's like, we know for the next 6 weeks what God's going to tell everybody. You don't. You're open and you're free to say, okay, Lord, what is it that you have for your people today? And you want to talk about freedom? For somebody who's been in the ministry for over 4 decades, that's freedom. And I've never experienced it until I came here. And so it's truly an honor to be with you all this morning. But if you don't know, I'm a worship leader. And so your style of worship is not the quote-unquote norm for the church today, if you weren't aware. If you haven't traveled outside the walls of Bible Tabernacle or your affiliate churches, which I was at one this past week in Lake City, Florida. Those people all love you. I kept calling you the mothership, and they'd laugh every time I said that. And then they started calling it the mothership, and they felt free enough to laugh with me, and they were calling it the mothership. But the style of worship, because remember, that's worship through song. When we look at the Bible and talk about worship, it's a whole lot of things besides singing. And coming out this Christmas, my first book will be out called The Way in a Manger. And it's looking at all the different people in the Christmas story and looking at how we have representation of all of mankind, including creation, including the heavenly realm in there. And literally on the airplane flying over, I was going over the chapter on angels and writing on the fact that, you know, one of my absolute favorite things about Christmas time is singing Christmas songs and Christmas-related songs, especially the ones that worship Jesus. Occasionally the jingle bells comes out, I get it, you know, but it's really more about the things about Jesus. But there are some things that we have allowed into our theology that aren't biblically accurate. I'm going to hate to break some bubbles today, and I may never be asked to come back today, which is kind of the way it usually works if you're at All Things Possible. Victor's taught me, just go tell them what God wants you to tell them. If they don't ask you back, it's okay. I've been doing it for years. But do you realize singing is a gift that God has given us as mankind and mankind alone? Alone. There is no biblical accounts of the angelic singing. Even though one of my absolute favorite songs from Christmas time is Angels We Have Heard of It High. They don't sing. Do you know why they don't sing? Singing is an act of faith. Angels see God, they hear God, uninhibited. That's not faith when they respond to God. That's obedience. That's sight. But we as the body of Christ get to exhibit faith and sing. And I know if we'd be honest and I asked hands, you know, how many of you don't like singing, there may be a few hands that would go up. I'm sorry, beloved. It's a gift that God's given us. And he don't care how you sound to everybody else through this. He hears this. And so if the best that you can do when singing is like watching your favorite team score, and you can yell loud and excited because your team just got the little ball either through the little ring or got it across the line with 11 other people trying to stop them. If you can get excited to be, yeah, about that, but you can't get excited about what God has done for us, whoo, that's conviction right now for many of us. But there's something about this whole aspect of song that, and so I'm a worship leader, but it goes back to even before I got saved. I grew up in a Roman Catholic household. My dad was a musician, and there was a movement in the mid-60s. How many of us were alive in the mid-60s? 1960s, that is. Okay. And if any of you come from a Roman Catholic background, like kids growing up, okay. So there was this thing happening after Vatican II called the ecumenical movement, and there was this new thing called the folk mass that was being introduced. They basically had realized the organ is a wonderful instrument, but there are other instruments and music styles that actually will help us to touch people's hearts right now. And so they literally said, hey, we've got to like let those devil drums come into the church and sanctify them. And guitars and other things. And so we moved from San Diego, California when I was 4 years old in 1968. You do the math, you know how old I am now. And when we got to this small town called Bay City, Michigan, where I ended up having all my formative years, and for all of you Michiganders, it's right there. Everybody from Michigan, when you ask where they're from, they hold their hand up like this and they point, and then from the Upper Peninsula, they do this and then they point there for the map. But my dad went to our priest at that time and said, hey, me and my boys, we're musicians, and we understand that, like, there's kind of some movements that will allow guitars to be in loud and things now. And he says, and he offered. And the priest was ecstatic because they were just about to start the Saturday afternoon mass, which, if it was after 4 p.m., counted for your Sunday obligation. Anything before? No. But after 4, counted. And the priest said, Helen doesn't want to play the organ for Saturday because she's already doing both services Sunday, and I don't have any musicians, so I'd gladly welcome you. So my dad, my brother, and I. My dad played the stand-up bass like Brother Red did this morning. My brother played the guitar, and me at like 7 years old sang and played the tambourine. I was like a little Michael Jackson of church, you know. It was like the Samoan 3, not the Jackson 5. And that's where I began learning how just to sing unto the Lord. And this morning as we were just singing, it just hit me. And this has nothing to do with my message, which I'm very free here knowing that that clock in the back just tells me what time it is. It doesn't tell me how many minutes I have left to get God's message into you so you can go out and have lunch and go watch a football game. Right? Because you come to hear from God however long that takes. And you're used to it because Brother Phil can go a long time. Because God isn't concerned with our time schedules. Yesterday, we came to officiate a wedding. The whole reason why I was even introduced to being in North Carolina to serve was for this couple that Victor asked me, hey, can you go down and love on these people like Papa Chaz does? Maybe take you like a month, but are you okay with being gone for a month? I'm saying, I'm missionaries overseas for 25 years. I've been in Iraq without the rest of the team a long time alone, in Israel after things happened a long time. It's like, whatever the Lord wants, that's what I want to do. And so this morning, as we come to what we're going to look at in Scripture, I just want to remind everybody, you're here to grow in Him. All this basically is on Sunday is the huddle for everybody to go back out and be the light that we've called to be. This is just the huddle. For many people, unfortunately, in modern Christianity, Sunday for an hour and a half, like that's my Christianity. And if that's your Christianity, it's a very shallow and unproductive Christianity. This is simply when we come together to worship the Lord corporately, get charged up to Him, and to go out where? Into the battlefield. Because as one of the songs we sang there, it's when we get to heaven that we will have a life of unencumbered joy. It's when we get to heaven that we actually have constant 24/7 experience of the peace that God provides for us. We get tastes and glimpses of those things now, but we're in a war. And if you're in a war and you're getting shot at, do you go like, wow, why am I getting shot at? If you know that you're in a war, if you know that you're in a battle, if you know that you're in a fight, are you surprised when the arrows come slinging, when the fists come, when the verbal accusations come your way? We as a church have lost sight, and I'm not saying this one, but in general, of the fact that as believers, when we get saved, what does the Scripture tell us happens? We get sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit. I believe in the heavenly realm that seal looks like a bullseye. And the more you pour into the fight, the more you pour into wanting to be part of what God's doing on planet Earth, you know what happens? Your bullseye gets bigger and brighter.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.